Advanced backup pointer. Okay, cool. All right, good morning, everybody. Again, my name is Joe Lord. I'm the North American Sales Manager for Phoenix Lighting. I am giving this presentation for my partner, Thomas Feldhusen. We had to leave on a rather abruptly for a family emergency, so bear with me through this. Tom basically had created this this slideshow for you guys to really, it's not overly technical, but it's really designed to leave you guys with a lot of questions to ask, because LED is becoming so popular for your machines, for your processing centers, pretty much all over the mine site, all over everything for that matter, just because of the amount of technology and how far it's moving in the last 10 years. So with that being said, today we'll get into LED in general. Very briefly, I'll touch on that. The human eye, how we see light, different types of light. I'm going to kind of bend the light that we see to kind of open your mind up a little bit and how you're making your lighting decisions on the mine site, application in mining, and then lighting questions we all need to start thinking about. So to start off, where have we been? So the last 10 years, I would say more the last 5 years, LED technology has pretty much taken over everything. I mean, there's other new lighting technology that's out there, but LED has proved to be one of the most reliable and most efficient. And before that, I mean, we've been HID, incandescent, compact, and linear fluorescent has pretty much taken over all equipment, all everything. So that's where we've been, and we'll get into kind of where we're going. So LEDs, I know you've all seen this, you probably all know what an LED is, but in case you don't, it consists of three parts. The LED array itself is made up of several diodes. It could be one, it could be 100, and that basically gives off blue light. So that blue light is then covered by that yellow phosphor, and when you get different colors of lighting and how it's adjusted is more phosphor means warmer light, so it'll be more yellow, less phosphor means bluer light. So you're going to get, a bluer hue with your less expensive LEDs, or if, you know, you're trying to see something different in a different light. It all comes down to rendering. But that LED is married to a heat sink because we know that all of the heat on an LED actually goes backwards. So it's not very hot forward. It's going to be cool to the touch, but all that heat is dissipated behind it. So the heat sink basically spreads that out and allows the LED to continue working, and it's all powered by the driver, which is all electronic as opposed to, you know, the copper ballast that have been used for HID. Okay, so rainbows, butterflies, unicorns, LED comes out and is like the greatest thing. We have 100,000 hour lifespan, it's shock and vibration proof, we're told that it is the best light ever, replace everything with LED. When you do that, reality shortly sets in. If you're not putting it in the right application, everybody's experiencing their failures. I mean, the last 5 years, as things have grown and LEDs first came out, we've experienced a lot more failures through trial and error. It's basically what works where, you know, what replaces what, wattages, optics. There's so many different things to go along. But a lot of sales promises, too. I mean, the company's selling a lot of the legacy lighting. They may not have designed fixtures for mining environments, so they're selling you, hey, it's LED, it's going to work, it's going to be perfect, and very shortly you realize that it isn't. So where do we go now? I'm going to give you questions to think about in terms of where we're going to go, and you know, you might have a great solution that you're using right now for one piece of equipment, but not for your plant, or vice versa. We'll kind of give you the information to really start, opening your mind up on that. All right, I am not a scientist, but this is a picture of an eye and kind of goes over all of the parts of an eye. We know that, a picture comes through, it reflects off the back wall. That back through there is the retina, and in that retina we have our rods and our cones, and we all know that from middle school biology. And this is what it consists of. So we have 120 million rods and 6 million cones, so about half as many. Now, the rods are responsible for night vision, everyday vision. That's why there's so many of it. And the cones are responsible for, you know, seeing in very bright light and knowing what's out there. So with that, we have scotopic lumens and photopic lumens, each designated to rods or cones. And that comes into play a lot and isn't really talked about a whole lot, but I'll get into why this is actually becoming extremely important as LEDs come forward. And the two together, a mesotopic, is basically the both of them in an SP ratio, which can be calculated out and then put into lighting studies and things of that nature. Okay, so really simply, just to put it on paper to kind of go a little bit further into it, so photopic versus scotopic. The photopic lumens represent the relative sensitivity of the eye under intense lighting. So this is outdoor sunlight. When you walk out of a door and you see that, it's using those types of lumens. Scotopic lumens are red, and they represent the relative sensitivity of the eye under typical lighting conditions or darkness. So anything that's not under bright light. Now, this is where we really have to start looking at LED as the type of light that we're using and how it compares to some of the historical fixtures that we have. A lot of people ask, you know, how can a 1,000-watt high-pressure sodium fixture or metal halide fixture be replaced with a 300 or a 200-watt LED fixture? Why does it look so bright? Why does it look, you know, so glary? I can see much better. Whatever. So here we have our standard incandescent. So it's broke down into scotopic and photopic lumens. And you can see here our standard incandescent is basically showing that it has 19 lumens per watt. So in any lumen, in the source of the light that it's coming, 19 of those lumens are scotopic, 15 in photopic, so basically it has a 1.26 SP ratio. Now, if we look at LED in a 5 to 6,000K, which is probably a lot of what you guys might be running on your current machines, the smaller wattage fixtures, that has 180 lumen per watt photopic lumen output per watt. So why this is important? This is important because scotopic lumens are not read by a standard light meter. This is pretty much all, this is unaccounted for lumen output, okay? So the photopic lumens are what are read by the light meters, you know, the cheap ones or the ones that you can get on your iPhone where you put it under the light and you get it. Now, when we look at this, you know, it's much closer, you know, to some of these. So 19, you know, 15 to 90, it's not nearly as big of a difference. I mean, when we say that, we are seeing this light completely different. This is why in regular light, a low-pressure sodium, which is so orange at night, you know, you can see movement well and you can pick it up because of the long wavelengths through fog and snow and things like that. But in all actuality, you know, during night vision and, you know, the scotopic lumens it's putting out is extremely minimal. Now, these LEDs are putting out 180. I mean, we think about how much whiter and brighter and how much better rendering that comes in. So this is very general. This is something that one of our engineers just brought back from a conference he was at. But what it's trying to say is that we might be getting lower foot candles out of the ground or out of, you know, your machine. You set it right here 50 yards away from your machine with the light meter and you could be, you know, half the brightness. But it doesn't say that we're not getting better light. Okay, so vision, we're going to see it better, but on paper, we might not. And here's an example. So if anybody, I mean, what's clearly different? We have high-pressure sodium on the right and LED on the left. What are some of the major differences here that you see? Yep. What was that? Yep. So we have orange in color, very white uniform lighting. The hot spots are so intense here where it's, you know, just very uneven. This is much more uniform. You know, some other things is basically just, well, it's just two different kinds of light, right? So this is going to be, and I'll bring it up here. So this is these are our main differences here. So when we look on the left side, and this is from Cree Lighting. So, I mean, Cree Light, their LEDs, you know, we use them in our products. They're one of the best out there. So this information, basically we have 6,000K, so that's what color it is. So it's a little, you know, cooler white versus a 2,000K in terms of temperature. We're using about half the wattage on this side, obviously twice the wattage on this side. Now the significance of this is that at the minimum light that we see here on each of them, it's at 0.3 foot candles. Okay, makes sense, you know, whatever on the ground. The big thing is, at the maximum amount of light here, the LED is actually on red on a, I mean, if this was to be put into a lighting layout, would be 61% less of the maximum light here, okay? And what that is showing us is that scotopic lighting, we see this so much better. So now we're gonna render better, we can work better under this light. I mean, which one would you rather work under? And a lot of decisions could be potentially made on what you get from your, you know, sales manager, electrical distributor, whoever, on, you know, a lighting layout or something that you might read from a standard light meter. Okay, you know, at Phoenix we have a, I don't even know how much the thing costs, but we can read that. But it's a matter of accepting that when we tell you we're getting this type of lumen as opposed to that type of lumen, that's how 141 watt per fixture can match a 250 watt fixture here, and you're actually getting a significant better light output. Is there any questions on this? Okay, this is another very quick little chart that was provided by Strategies in Light, which is the largest, you know, LED technology conference in the world. And what this shows very briefly, we don't have to get into it too much, but this is basically the average detection distance for what type of light is out here. And what we're going to take out of this is that the number one, the furthest that we're seeing in dry and wet, is LED in 4100K. Okay, and that's opposed to, you know, in high pressure sodium and different LED colors, asymmetrical light patterns are close. And they're relatively, you know, close, but we're talking, you know, an average distance of, I mean, from high pressure sodium by about 50 feet. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to kind of go over several of the different things that you're hearing, and then we'll go over, you know, what we're going to start thinking about. So all of that aside, this is the other thing that we hear, I mean, constantly. Okay, this is the big change. This is the part of the game that people steer away from. It's that change. We're getting a glare bomb. Okay, there's several different kinds of your glare bomb, glare, you know, reduced glare fixtures, no glare fixtures. I will tell you there is no such thing as a no glare fixture, because it's just, if you look at a light straight on, it's going to look glary. So that's a load. But long story short, these are some of the things that we're hearing, and I'm sure that you guys have struggled with. Now, to us in lighting, glare is the beam and lumens. I mean, pretty simple. So the beam accounts for about 90% of you know, the light source of what's coming out, and then the other 10% is just kind of the field of light. Okay? And whenever you're directly looking into that beam, it's going to become glary. So it's how heavy you're getting into that beam or what direction you're looking at, you're going to have a glare bomb or less glare or this or that. LEDs are nice because you can control all that. Okay? So with lumens, we have to remember now too, if you want this new technology and, you know, it's more efficient and so much less maintenance costs and all of these great benefits, we have to know there's going to be some sort of, you know, kind of give and take. With LEDs, you can see here, this is a basically same wattage, same light source. I just kind of put in a like a car headlamp, for example. You have an incandescent lamp, 800 lumens, okay? That same lamp in an HID would put out 2,700 lumens in about a softball size lamp. And the LED from the same source would put out 4,600 lumens. So right there, you've already increased, you know, how much light you're just going to be seeing. You know, so the beam is going to appear incredibly bright. That's why a lot of LEDs that you buy aftermarket aren't road legal, because they can't harness the light straight on, you know, for people to see. But when you guys are out on the mine sites, I mean, we really need to think about this and what you're getting. Now, you're going to be able to see so much further. But it's at what cost and what fixtures you're buying that's going to determine if it's actually going to be worth your while. Okay, so this leads into the most important stuff. What kind of questions will we have for halogen loading? I mean, we can associate this to haul trucks. I mean, really any of the large AC equipment, smaller DC equipment, any of the rolling stock, as well as, you know, plants, conveyor belt lines, everything. Okay, so the first big one is optical control. I could spend a whole day going over optical control and the fixtures that you guys probably see and what's going to work and what's not going to work. And my Phoenix fixtures aside, this is an unbelievably important metric of, you know, you're buying these LEDs for your truck. So we have all different sorts, right? We have new LEDs that are coming out with where they will actually have a high beam and a low beam for your trucks. We have to think, you know, are your trucks wired for that? How much, you know, extra power is that going to take? Is it even worth it? Or do you just put, you know, very simply, higher wattage fixtures up here, lower wattage fixtures here, mix and match with HID. We have another type of optics right here in the bottom left, which is basically just LEDs put under a glass lens or a plastic lens. And oftentimes, that could potentially be a waste altogether. That could be as inefficient as any high-pressure sodium or metal halide fixture that you'd be buying, because that, without any optical control, LEDs just spew the light wherever it can go. So without getting the light to where it has to go, it's nearly impossible to justify even, you know, buying a fixture like that, unless it's, you know, maintenance costs is, you know, what you're, the only thing you have to worry about. And then another type of fixture is basically each LED has a different optic for a purpose. So you can mix and match, and you can go from wide flood, wide spot, narrow spot to very spot in any sort of fixture, okay? So we have to think about here too, how many part numbers do we want to stock? You know, the ease of use, like do we just go spot, flood? Do we just determine? You got to ask the right questions to determine the perfect application, because really when we break it down, the appropriate wattage and better optics is going to basically create less glare and more efficiency. And I say that because if we go back to the scotopic lighting, we do not need a 300 watt LED to replace a 300 watt HP, you know, high pressure sodium or metal halide fixture. It's going to be such an amount of light that you can't harness it for your application. We can chip down all the way down until we're equal in lumens to what's out there now, and then you put a good optic on it. Okay, so you do put, you know, maybe a narrow spot on the bottom for when there's nobody else around and you really want to push that light, or, you know, you put an amber lens on it, you know, for when it's foggy and whatnot. So there's a lot of different options, but these things all have to weigh in your mind before making a decision, because every manufacturer is going to tell you they have the best fixture and the best this, and this is why, but when it comes down to it, you gotta bust them up about, hey, what is this optic going to do? What is this going to look like? You put it on a piece of paper. Ask for a sample and put it on there, and you know that's really how you're going to do it. You got to aim it. It's not like the legacy lighting where you just screw in a light bulb or, you know, put it in and it just reflects and it just is what it is. There's so many more options, you know, available to you guys for this type of equipment. Okay, the second thing that I get asked a lot, and I'm sure a lot of questions come up, what wattage should be used? I mean, there's really no perfect answer for this because every manufacturer uses good LEDs or bad LEDs, or, you know, they put it in a different housing that reflects it or optics. Again, it all kind of comes together and how the fixture is designed. But I can tell you, as of 2006, the lumen per watts for LED was, and this is on the higher scale, this is kind of what we were seeing, is around 131 lumens per watt. Okay, as of 2016, I mean, we've seen fixtures with up to a 303 lumen per watt. Now, that's not to say that, you know, that's going to last a long time or that, you know, LED was put in a fixture that's going to last on a mine site, but that's what we were seeing. Realistically, for the fixtures that are available to you guys, we're looking at about 120 to 200 lumens per watt in these fixtures. Now, we have to remember that that is not even bringing into play the scotopic lumens. So even though this might be a lumen to watt, and you know, you're thinking you have to do a one for one or whatever it would be for LED, we can cut back that wattages tremendously right now with, you know, the performance and the technologies where LEDs are at. The wattages of the fixtures can be much lower. And you'll see that in manufacturing in the, you know, 10 to 17 watt fixtures as opposed to what used to be the 35 to 50 watt LED fixtures. Now, a general rule of thumb, For the high wattage fixtures that you guys would like to, you know, switch over into LED, you're looking at about 3-to-1. So 1,000 watt HID fixture would be, you know, a 300 watt-ish LED fixture. Okay, and for the lower wattage fixtures, it's about half. So the lower wattage, you can get away with a lot more. I mean, the old Haslux type fixtures that put out 1,000 watts and you know, just a little jelly jar type fixture. I mean, you can replace that with a 15, 20 watt fixture these days with the right optics. This was a quick table I just put in to show, you know, kind of the progression. It is a little outdated. This was from 2014, but it just shows you what they had projected then. In terms of, on the left side, we have basically what was available, you know, for lumens per watt. And back in 2010, you know, you're looking around 50. They projected by 2030 that we'd be at 200. We're already at 300, you know, is possible. The technology that we're seeing has definitely slowed down a little bit now, finally. And we're already seeing this. And this is the good news for these LED fixtures that are coming out, is that they started up there, you know, $70 for a cost per bulb, you know, and this is just standard LED. And now it's dropped down to, you know, under 10. I mean, there's no question. And that's for quality, good bins of LEDs. And when I say good bins, every manufacturer picks out different bins. So if you guys want uniform color, a lot of the less expensive fixtures that you're going to buy or wonder why they're less expensive is that the manufacturer will actually, you know, just basically say, give me 100 of this wattage LED. And nothing has been sorted, nothing has been anything. It's just they put the quality of the LEDs in different bins. Okay, so another question to ask. Can we really trust LED systems? Okay, you guys, you love it or hate it, or you've experienced some failures. If you haven't, that is incredible, because I believe everybody has, just in terms of trial and error. But in terms of all of the LED failures that we have, we see about 84% are actually solder failures. So cold solder on the actual LED board itself. Now, what that came from, whether, you know, it got wet or was in a humid environment or it was just overheated or whatever, that we don't know, but the other 16% is from driver failure. So the dirty power or the unfiltered power that would go to these. I mean, with LEDs, it might take a little bit more of an investment on the front end to make sure that your lines are filtered and you have the appropriate you know, filtration before it gets to the driver, because it's not like the old metal ballast. I mean, if lightning strikes a boom now and we don't have the right surge suppression set up on the forehand, you know, you could potentially lose all of those drivers, I mean, overnight. The driver manufacturers are coming out with better technology as we go, but it's just a matter of asking the question to the manufacturer, who do you use? I mean, Meanwell, Inventronix, those are a couple of the better driver manufacturers out there, which, you know, some of the top manufacturers use today. So it's just kind of asking them and making sure that you're getting something that's fully submersible and shockproof for your application. That failure rate, it is directly correlated to temperature. Okay, you have to know and ask your manufacturer in terms of application, where they're going, what's going to work, where. They're very sensitive to once, you know, they're out of that ambient temperature, they're basically just kind of out in the ocean with a, you know, strong wind. It's might work, it might not, but it's going to drastically decrease the life of your LED. Again, with the technology coming out, the LEDs, it's just a matter of how they're built around. It's the application and knowing that you have a good fixture that's built around, because the LED itself will work, but it's a matter of dissipating the heat. It's a matter of dealing with the, you know, shock and vibration and protecting the LED. We experience, since we have sold our first LED, we've experienced less than a 0.05% failure rate. So that tells us that we can trust LEDs. It's just a matter of making the right decision on the LED fixture that you're buying. And again, it comes down to appropriate fixture application. You know, you're not going to use something for one spot that you would in another. You know, you might have to not necessarily pay a premium, but shop around until you get something for the correct application, because there is a company that makes the best fixture for that application. Okay, so coming back to this screen, another question, and you know, this is another big question to ask as you guys are, you know, placing orders for these or starting to get interested in LED retrofits is, why are we still using the old, you know, light meters and the old light level specs? Okay, this is given out by, you know, IES, who's actively working on basically finding a ratio to show you guys as the end users, or, you know, the distributors of this product or the OEMs. We don't necessarily need, you know, 100-foot candles here when LED can put out better-looking light at 20-foot candles. Okay, so you guys see that and you're like, no way, that's not going to work for my application. I'll just pump up the wattage until I'm at foot candles. They are working on, you know, different, basically, like that SP ratio will come into play eventually, I think, to where now you would take a standard foot candle and it will bring in those scotopic lumens to show that all the same here, right? Except for this shows 61% light, but I would much rather work under that. You know, if I'm fumbling around with different colored wires without a headlamp, I mean, there's no question it's safer. You're going to be more productive. And, you know, LED didn't get into a lot of the maintenance savings and things like that. Those are things that you guys already probably know or have been told about. But that's kind of, you know, just a very general overview of, you know, what we're seeing. So LED does remain your best value right now. It will for a long time. You know, there are other, like I said, there are other lighting technologies coming out, but with these technologies that are brighter and more efficient, it's been very difficult to contain the light and actually protect it, especially in the rough environments. And that's really what the big thing is with you guys. A lot of manufacturers, to that point, they come into mining with, you know, having built in different industries. You know, you have to look for those manufacturers that design their fixture for exactly what you're using, so it's not a phone call of like, I have 10, you know, broken fixtures or this isn't working. You guys think about that stuff. LED still has, again, longest projected in actual life. Basically determining the right fixture for the application, I already pounded that home, and basically pushing us, the manufacturers, for what you need, what you want. Ask the questions. Don't push LED aside, because eventually you're not going to be able to get the lamps on those, you know, big machines. For, you know, the larger 100,000 watt HID fixtures and metal halides, those are going to skyrocket. I mean, those fixtures already are more expensive than LED fixtures to buy. So we need to start grooming our mind to move forward to LED, but making sure that we're bringing some of the right information and questions to ask. So, yeah.
Have any questions?
So, go. Is there an SP ratio? Is there like an SP ratio that's ideal for mining applications?
Is there an ideal like for mining applications? We haven't figured that out. So what I just showed you is actually relatively new to us, and I know other manufacturers are not really selling. This comes into a lot in lighting design and engineering. That's where we had gotten it from, but we haven't determined anything for mining yet, to answer your question. Really, I would say for anybody that looks at a list like that, it's pretty much what your top five are going to be, is what you're going to be able to see best at night. But I couldn't speak to what would be better for one or the other at this time.
Back of the room.
When you guys have the foot candle measurement, that's the optical light measurement. Do you guys have, how do you measure this the SP stuff? Is that a theoretical formula that you guys are coming up with, or is it an actual measurement?
Yep, that's an actual measurement, and that's not something we came up with. That was something my engineers bring back from their conferences, but it's something now that we're thinking about. Okay, so that SP ratio, I'm not sure how, you know, they actually use that, you know, in their lighting designs, but when you're seeing 2-for-1, so our eyes see, basically what that's saying is that our eyes see, you know, LED light 2 times better than it actually sees, you know, the other lumens that puts out during the nighttime. Okay, so when we put that together, it's difficult for me to say where that exactly fits to my business right now, except for the science is there behind what we see as photop, you know, the scotopic lumens, and that it's almost now another way to help you guys understand why are we seeing this light so much better. And it was kind of an aha for me, and that's what I hoped it was for you. But in terms of being technical and where it would be used, I really couldn't, you know, put it somewhere right now. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You guys have put together a recommended placement and fixture.
Definitely. So we do, generally it's all kind of customer specific. You know, we've done as many machines, like technical layouts, black and white, here you go, this is what it's going to look like, as they come in. So we have hundreds and hundreds of them. But generally speaking, for your equipment, we'll have a diagram of exactly what would go where. And a lot of that comes from, you know, matching the wattages we've found to be most, you know, efficient in retrofitting the old fixtures. But we're also, I mean, we've had to do a lot of work because we're the OEM for, you know, Joy Global and Caterpillar for their large, you know, AC equipment. So we do have a lot of that information. Not necessarily on our website, but if you go on there and, you know, you contact myself or Tom, you know, we can get it for you.
Okay. All right, thanks, Joe. So our next presentation this morning is shovel-based.